AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show. I'm Caroline Barker. Coming up this week, all change please, but have the FA got it right with their rejig of the league? And all change part two, please. Part two, even if you were French. We hear from the manager on the move a decade on the Non-League Football Show in association with Audio Boom. Impressed as they are by my French, let's bring in the team. If you liked him first time round, you'll love him every second. He's only going to be hosting the show again next week. Former manager of AFC Wimbledon, Hendon and others, now turned radio DJ, Dave Anderson.
That's a good way of breaking it to me, boss. We're doomed.
You didn't know that, did you?
We're doomed.
And did I mention
I'm a little bit upset now. I could do that.
his sidekick, more sideshow Bob, PR man with the Evo Secondary League, Dave Waters.
Oh, bonjour. Hello.
I couldn't say... Anyway, how are we all?
Good, I'm fine. Looking forward to being letting loose in the asylum next week with Dave then.
That could be fun.
Yeah, I think we're actually going to send you hopefully to a non-league football ground. You don't know which one yet. It's South Shields. No. Not, there's nothing wrong with South Shields. It's just that it's so far away from where both of you live. No, we're going to send you to hopefully maybe training or something next week. Now, before we get started on the real nuts and bolts of the show, is anyone expecting any pizza deliveries or any interruptions?
Tesco's. We never said that last week during the show, which was hidden really well. I had a Tesco delivery and a driver who thought I was the most ignorant man in the world because I shooshed him as I was doing the show.
Yeah, it was worth hearing that story just for hearing how you say shooshed. We're going to talk restructuring in just a minute. But it's been one of those weeks where, also coming up a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk to Dan Cowley of Lincoln. There's FA Cup fixtures, there's FA Vars fixtures. There's even a FA Youth Cup fixture around the corner you want to talk about, Anderson.
Yes, I get told about it a couple of days ago. And I want to get the team right, and I know Tim said, I think it was Broxbourne.
Broxbourne Borough.
Are still in the FA Youth Cup, but this is a sort of late stage, and are due to play Aston Villa, I think at Villa Park in February.
Yeah, 4th of February, a fifth round proper. There's still, there's one early match, Man City play Southampton. I mean, it just shows you the calibre of the teams left. They play them as we're speaking right now, actually. So I can't tell you the result of that one. AFC Wimbledon still in it. Chelsea, Sheffield Wednesday, and Broxbourne. So what a match that could be if they were to beat Villa and where they could end up next. So good luck.
To Broxbourne. I was just going to say, Kaz, that they are a little bit sort of the Lincoln City of youth team football.
They are.
They're doing really well. We had the Met Police, I think, reached the fourth round for the Ryman League last year, but the fifth round, that's really impressive, you know, for a club of that size.
Yeah.
Well, if we covered the fourth round, I expect you next week to cover the fifth round and get someone from Broxbourne on. There you go. Not that I'm taking control. Right, talking of taking control. The World of Non-League has been reacting this week to the news that there will be two new divisions at Step 3 and 4 as that level of the game gets a shake-up. This story was broken on the front page. Not broken the story, but you know, revealed by Matt Badcock from the Non-League paper who joins us now. Hiya, Matt.
Hello, Caroline. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you? How's your inbox been after making this?
I don't look at it, as anyone who emails me will tell you.
So explain it in words of one syllable, because Dave Anderson hasn't quite got this yet. What's going to happen?
So, I mean, it's been talked about for a while. We know that an FA council meeting last week, this new plan was waved through, it's been agreed in principle. So it's to have a new division at step 3, like you said, and also one at step 4. So it's going to be quite a big change. I suppose it's not as massive as the restructuring in 2004 when the conference North and South were brought in. But the idea from the FA is to reduce the travelling time for clubs and reduce the expenditure that they're obviously putting out to get to these games. And it's going to be, I guess it's, but the FA is saying that there's no, the ownership of who runs the league, although I think all Isthmian and Northern Premier and Southern will probably all be very interested in running the leagues, but, and the footprint hasn't been announced yet either, but I think it's safe to say that it will plug this. It's not the Midlands League. This is, I've been told it's not to be called that. It's more of a central kind of division, and it sort of plug this gap where, you know, I think last week, Havant and Waterlooville were at AFC Sudbury in Suffolk on a Tuesday night, and it's to stop that from happening. And yeah, I think it seems to be a positive step forward.
Go on then, Dave Anderson.
Just before Dave comes in. Go on then.
Oh, can I? Yeah, well, Matt, what I was going to ask you really was it sounds like a good idea on the face of it, but am I right in thinking that the Northern Premier League, the Southern League, the Eversick League Southern and the Ryman League, that two of those leagues are going to grow, if you like, from this, because one of them is going to be asked to run the new Step 3 division, sort of Premier level division, if you like, in the central area or the Midlands, and one is going to be asked to run the Step 4 league. Am I right in thinking that? And do you think that's going to cause, you know, that the leagues, obviously, they're all at the same level. The two that get it are going to be slightly, you know, will they have more weight at the FA after this? Because I could see that maybe causing your problems down the line.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a bit of a bun fight for who runs it. I don't, you know, it's going to be a lot of politics played out behind closed doors, I imagine, over the next sort of coming sort of months as they sort it out. Obviously now I think all the leagues know about it, don't they? So it's about sorting out what they're going to do next year to sort of shuffle the clubs about. It'll be interesting who sort of gets it. I suppose they've got to sort of now that the principle has been put through, they can start putting some flesh on the bones really, and decide where it's going to be and how it's going to break down.
And from what you know, just one last question for me, from what you know then, because I didn't see any reaction from the leagues last week, but maybe that was deliberate because the FA just wanted to announce it through the paper. But from what you know, do you think all the three leagues are all supporting it?
I don't know, to be honest. I haven't spoken to all of them yet. But I think they've all been aware of it. I know Ryman League sort of put it to their clubs and have got feedback on it. I mean, the other thing is to say as well that the divisions are going to be reduced in number. So Step 3 is going to be 22 clubs instead of 24. And Step 4 is going to be put down to 20 clubs. I think it's 22 in Southern League and Northern Premier, and 24 in the two Step 4 Ryman divisions. So there's going to be a lot of changes. It's going to be very interesting to see how people react to it. It'll also be interesting to see how Step 5 leagues react to it as well, because they're obviously going to be facing losing some clubs in all likelihood to sort of make the numbers fit.
And to be fair, Matt, I'm not saying it's a bad idea, restructuring. I'd just like to see it wrote down in front of me, and will there be consultation with the leagues once they're told, here's what we're proposing to do. What do you think of it, or is it going to be implemented without any sort of big consultation?
No, I think there's going to be consultation. That's the next step. It's to consult with the league, particularly to draft up the regulations for next season. So whether there's going to be, because obviously to get the new clubs, you've got to decide whether there's going to be relegations and things like that out of Step 4. I think it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because you can get opinions from everyone in football, and everyone will have a different one, won't they? So they've got to go with what they feel is right in the end. But overall, I think the aims are with good intention to reduce this travelling times that a lot of clubs are making, and also the cost and the fact that so many games. I mean, 24 teams in that step four leagues is just ridiculous, isn't it? Playing 46 games a season.
There has been a lot of complaints by clubs about that. So that's one of the reasons, I think, that they've all talked about reducing the number of fixtures that they have, haven't they?
Yeah, and when obviously the cold weather gets in too and we get matches called off. Matt, we're going to let you go talking of the cold weather because I know you need to go and warm up. We've kept you out in the cold, I think, to talk to us. So, Matt Badcock, breaking the news as always with the non-league paper. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Dave Anderson, I love how you said you'd like to see it written down because I sent you an email with it written down earlier. But don't worry about that.
Because I mean, in a family tree like way. What do you call it? A grid. So that I.
You're in a hole. Stop.
So shut up and let me finish.
Sorry.
Because I'm a bit like Matt. I think it's good intentions. I think, you know, and as someone who's actually done the travelling in the divisions, I'm aware of what they're trying to sort of get rid of. But I'd like to see it sort of wrote down. Here's exactly where the other division fits in. Here's exactly what it equates to. And here's how the big picture looks. Because whilst it is a good idea and whilst I understand why they're trying to do it, it is essential that they get it right, as always.
The basics of it, then, you can probably see, actually, if you go on the non-league paper website, and also quite a few of the websites carrying it now. New division at step 3 and 4, two new leagues, divisions at step 6. One will be in the Essex area, another will be in the kind of the northwest, although they've not decided on the footprint of all those yet. And two step 7 leagues in Sussex, one east, one west, and one new step 7 division in Lincolnshire too. So trying to cut down on that travelling. Some reaction.
And promotions, Kaz? Sorry, what about promotions, relegations?
That area of it has not been decided yet.
Okay.
The footprint of the new divisions and who runs them has yet to be decided, as well as how promotion and relegation will work. So, all right, it might have been decided, it's just not been disclosed yet. So,
yeah.
Trizimp on social media says, about time, hopefully stop clubs refusing promotion, which is a good point, Dave Waters. We do every season see clubs refuse to go up.
Yeah, they do. I mean, you know, we've got the classic one in with the Northern Premier League that I'm involved is with, that everyone knows about, is the Northern League. I think this year, I think South Shields actually have applied for promotion, which is unusual, because most years no clubs will apply. And the idea, and then that obviously happens elsewhere at step 5 as well. And as Dave and everybody has said, one of the ideas behind this change is to ease that, so the clubs don't have, you know, they can cut down on the travelling, there are less fixtures and all the rest of it. So hopefully it will have a positive effect for the Northern League, because it does ruin the whole thing, really, doesn't it, of, you know, of the game and the National League system. If certain leagues aren't sending people up, it just kind of skips the whole thing. So I think it is generally a good idea. I mean, I've been, you know, I was at non-league back for years, 20 years in it now, and ever since, you know, year 2000 or whatever it was, people have been calling for a Midlands League. I mean, that was one of the things after the last restructuring in 2004 that people were still saying, look, it's good, but it's still not quite right. So if they can get this right and consult properly with everybody, then I think everybody would be quite pleased.
Yeah.
Unusual.
Dan says, less travelling, no more oversized leagues, bring it on. And Steve says, very good that they're cutting the size of the divisions. I wonder, Waters, you might not be able to answer this, but I wonder, Dave Anderson, you can answer on his behalf. Whether the Caesars kind of, we've spoken that there's going to be new sponsors for the Isthmian League, things changing. We've already got Evo Stick overseeing the Northern and Southern leagues, of course, whether this might see kind of a more of a combination effect of all three of those leagues too, bringing them tighter together.
Yes, and that's not a bad thing either, is it? You know, that everyone wants the same deal, Kaz. You know, if I think that's the only thing I would question is that if one of the leagues don't get to have an extra division, how does that sort of pan out in the end? But getting conformity and everyone together, doing the same thing, same time, reducing the number of teams, I don't think is a bad thing either. Because, you know, Saturday, Tuesday, and then at the end of the season, Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, it's just hard work.
Hands up who's bored. Right, let's move on. In the week that Chester rewarded manager John McCarthy with a new 2.5-year deal, non-league, is losing one of its finest. Alfreton Town boss Nicky Law is leaving the National North Club after almost a decade for a job with Premier Leaguers Burnley, and he joins us now. Hiya, Nicky.
Good evening.
Well, congratulations on your new job, but how sad are you? I'm not calling you sad, Nicky, but how upset are you to be leaving Alfreton?
Oh, I have been called sad before, and a lot worse. But no, yeah, obviously, you know, it was a tough conversation I had with the chairman last week, and it was just something that had been offered to me, and given it real deep thought and consideration, you know, it was something that I had to really take with the view of sort of some longevity in it, you know. You're always thinking, you know, how long's the chairman going to go on for? It's been there 16, 17 years. You know, if he was to call it a day, then obviously I'm at the wrong age, I really feel, to be looking around for a job. Football club and chairman seem to be going for the younger managers nowadays. And I just see this job, obviously, not as a just as a great football club to be joining, but a great opportunity for me and a bit more longevity in it, you know.
And to be fair, Nicky, it will totally change what you do, I would guess. You know, take you away from the coaching field and more sort of overseeing stuff. How was that? You know, that's a totally different sort of framework, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think, you know, in the non-league scene, you're always out watching games, trying to recruit young players that you think that you can bring in, develop and, you know, use for your purpose and look to sell on, as we've done previously. Yeah, you'll lose the sort of one-to-one with the players and the coaching side of it. But, you know, I've done it for that long now that I just think that, you know, probably this is the way forward for me. So, you know, tough decision, but one that I've made now.
And to be fair, Nicky, and I'll ask it the how can I put this, the paparazzi way. You know, you're 18th in the division, you know, so at this time of year, don't be on the dead end of the table. Did that sway you in your decision in any way?
No, if anything, it probably made me delay the decision. Because obviously, you know, the position that we're in, I truly believe that, you know, if we hadn't have been involved in the Cups as much as we were this year, we had loan players that weren't available in the Cups, so that meant that we were changing the team for the league, then changing it for the Cup. We couldn't get no continuity. We've had a fair few injuries. You know, I know everyone will cry that one in, but we have.
Yeah.
And I think now that, you know, we're back on track and we've got the distractions of the Cup out of the way, we can kick on now. But no, going back to your question, it was quite the opposite, really. You know, it was one of them that I just thought, well, you know, does it look like I'm bowing out? And anyone that knows me knows that, you know, I'm not that character, but sure. It was just, I got to the point where, you know, I had to make a decision, and, you know, Burnley were good enough to let me carry on until, you know, the 4th of February so that I can work with Russ, my assistant, who will take over from me just for a nice, smooth transition swap over, really.
Dave Waters.
Hello, yeah. Nicky. Yeah, it's Dave here. So I must apologise for Dave and his paparazzi question there. I had no doubt you would never leave a job like that. No, but being serious, it's a fantastic opportunity for you. What I want to ask is, we've seen so many players this season, non-league players, getting moved to the big time. I mean, even this week, I think Raul Carrera from Radcliffe Bury has gone off to Blackpool. We've had that lad, Daniel Scarf from Stourbridge, signed for Birmingham City on Monday. In your new role then, do you think you'll be paying... I hope you are, by the way, special attention to you know, non-league players to see if you can bring them through for Burnley.
I think, you know, if you look at the players that we've had and players that we've tried to sign, you know, I think, you know, everybody jumps on the Jamie Vardy one. I remember Jamie when he was a young man at Stocksbridge, and we used to see him, you know, waiting at the petrol station there to get picked up. You know, well, we tried to sign Jamie before anyone knew about him. You know, I think we offered $3,000, went to $5,000. Pushed it to, and I think he went for 25. So, you know, we tried to get him, but we didn't have the money to do it. You know, Andre Gray, who's actually at Burnley now, I remember speaking to Dean Thomas Inkley and saying, what would you want? And he wanted $10,000. And I think we went in with $3,000 or $5,000 and we didn't get that one. There's been no end of players that, you know, that we tried to get, knowing that they can kick on. But, you know, there is players there, and I think part of my remit will be, you know, just to come in and, obviously with my knowledge of the non-league, and and try and get them players. You're not going to get everyone, but I think, you know, a club like Burnley, especially, you know, everyone you're going to get in, it's going to be a big call for them to get into the first team in the Premier League. But, you know, if you can bring them in, develop them, and they don't quite hit that status, then, you know, there's obviously some monetary value for a sell-on in that, and it just keeps self-generating. But, yeah, certainly, I think that was one of the attractions to the people at Burnley was the fact that, you know, I do know the lower leagues, I know the non-league scene, and obviously I've, you know, done the loan deals and stuff like that, and I know how it works.
Nicky, just one more from us then, before you head off into the wide world of the Premier League. You mentioned a couple of players there, Vardy, that you missed out on. Maybe that's one of the regrets, but when you look back on it, what's your special moment you'll remember Alfreton for?
I just think, you know, my 7 years there, you know, I've met a lot of people and made a lot of good friends. I've got, you know, a fantastic relationship with my chairman, not just in football, out of it. You know, and I wish them all the best. And, you know, our ventures into the FA Cup and winning the Conference North by, you know, some way, getting into the Conference Premier, getting a club like Alfreton to second in the league at one point. And, you know, that was probably the pinnacle. And I think it was probably at that stage I realised that a club like ours with a fan base that we've got, that it was going to be always difficult to compete with these bigger sides that, you know, are getting 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 crowds. You know, we're getting 400, you know. So, in theory, you know, we're needing 5 or 6 home games to some of these big clubs. One, and it's a tough, tough challenge, and it was a tough challenge, but I enjoyed every minute of it, embraced it, loved it. And as I say, there's a little bit of me that, you know, it's sad that I'm going to leave that behind. I will miss it. But, you know, as I say, I've got to move on that fantastic challenge at such a great club as Burnley.
Nicky, we wish you all the best. And thank you for picking up the phone to us over the last decade as well. Don't worry, we'll be hounding you. Now you're Premier League. We'll be hounding you. All right, Nicky. Look after yourself. Take care. And thanks for coming on the show.
Take care. Good evening to you all. Bye-bye.
Yeah, brilliant, Kaz. Kaz, I'd just like to say, you know, that, you know, to be fair, Nicky, to do 10 years at one club is a real, real achievement. It's an achievement that you don't see repeated many times nowadays. And everyone that we've spoken to who has done it always mentions the relationship between the manager and the chairman.
Mm.
And you'd think that more people would listen to that.
Well, it's funny. It's funny. He won't find it funny. We're going to talk to Danny Cowley in a moment, the Lincoln boss. And I think that, you know, he's just had with Nicky his contract extended because of the great work that they've done then. But he's one of those young managers, I guess, that Nicky was talking about that these chairmen are going for now, blooding in, sticking with, and then, I guess, seeing them move on.
Yeah, and but don't forget, Danny Cowley had sort of 8-9 years at Concord, and we had his chairman on it, what, last week, the week before. Again, a good relationship between chairman and manager.
Well, he's probably been listening to this because we're going to talk to Danny in just a moment. And also coming up, did you know it's a big weekend for Sutton too in the FA Cup? So big.
Absolutely.
So big that Sutton even have their own song. Do you want to hear a bit of it?
Oh, please.
Yep.
Go on.
Well, all right. You're going to have to keep waiting. Oh, no, there you go. Yeah, it's something I know you can't wait to hear again. We're going to hear from the man behind that, Comrade X, back on the Shoebox Terrace in just a moment and talk all things Sutton. I mentioned Danny Cowley, another sellout on the way for Lincoln as they take on Saturday. Let's see how his heart's doing. How are you doing, Danny?
Hello, Caroline. Hello, Dave. Nice to see you.
Hi.
Another full house. You've got to stop selling out.
This is it, yeah. No, it's been crazy here. The supporters have been queuing up in sub-zero temperatures. There were 250 tickets left, I think, as of yesterday evening, and they were queuing from 8 o'clock last night all the way through to 10 o'clock this morning. So, no, it's been amazing. I think we, you know, as a group, I think we've all been sort of pretty humbled by the support that we've had.
I would love to monopolise your time, but I know Mr. Anderson wants to do so. I'll let him jump in.
Yeah, well, I've got to really ask the, instead of saying, how are you, mate, I've got to go for the jugular and say, you know, and say, sure. Danny, you know, listen, we're delighted about what you're doing. I just sit back and I think now, do you get confused by the success? What I mean is will it jade you? Will it make you tired? You know, these massive games, one after another. I'm not saying take your eye off the big prize, which is promotion, but is it becoming too much to handle?
I think it's a challenge, but it's a challenge that we're enjoying. You know, every football team wants to be successful, and if you're going to be successful, then the better you do, the bigger the games come. And we've enjoyed lots of big games at Central Bank recently, and you know, we feel that we're developing and evolving as a team from the experiences that we're having, and that's genuinely what we feel. We feel that, you know, we've set a benchmark with our level of performance with the two games against Ipswich. We've definitely gained confidence by going toe-to-toe with a championship team and getting on the right side of the result. And I think we've been inspired by the sort of the magnitude of the games and the fact that so many people have come to watch us and the atmosphere. And, you know, when you speak to our boys, it makes them want to work really hard to make that their reality.
Yeah, and just second one for me, mate. You know, well, there's two little points to it. One is that... You know, loads of games can pick up some injuries, sort of a little bit of fatigue. I understand that you build momentum through it. All this dough that you're making the club, are you allowed to spend any of it in January?
Well, it's funny enough, I'm in a meeting at the moment. This meeting has just been interrupted. I'm with Clive Nates, who's one of our directors. He's an investor from South Africa. So he was only coming over a few days, but when we beat Ipswich, he stayed for a little bit longer. It's particularly cold for him at the moment here, not what he's used to in South Africa, but we're just having that conversation as we speak, and just seeing if we can find a few pounds and pence to maybe add to the squad, because like you've alluded to, the games are coming ridiculously thick and ridiculously fast, and obviously being in the FA Trophy as well, we're trying to you know, we want to be successful on all three fronts, and if we're going to continue to do that, then we obviously need bodies, and we need reinforcement.
Dave Waters.
Just going to ask you, on the cash front, then I always go for that one, but just roughly, ballpark figure, just for everyone listening out there, how much have you earned so far, do you think, the club, with your bits of TV cash and your prize money in the gates? Just, you know, what did that investor, how big of a smile did he have on his face? You were talking about
he's got a big smile on his face. I think they've all been pleased with how it's helped the club financially. To be honest, I never know.
Are we talking £500,000
I've never really asked a question on the money front. It's always, for me, it's always about winning and success, that's what it's been for me. But no doubt the club has obviously enjoyed we've been on telly quite a lot recently and had earned some good money from that. I mean, the crowds have been fantastic. You know, we've had two sellouts. We had 7,000 for against Tranmere in the league, 8,000 against Oldham. So the crowds have been brilliant, and that's definitely helped the club. There's no doubt about that financially, but for me, my interest is in football.
Well, I'm never one to keep a man from his money, so I'm going to let you go so you can get some more. Danny, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Caroline. Yeah, thanks to Dave. Nice to speak to you all.
Yeah, best of luck, yeah. Danny.
Best of luck, love.
Fingers crossed. Danny Cowley. On to the next round. Who does he want? What, Man United? Yeah, probably. Let him go. Go. it's one of those matches this weekend. Of course, they lost to Barrow 3-0 during the week, which you kind of touched on, Dave Anderson, in the league. But they're still, when you look at the league, Lincoln on 58, played 28. Forest Green played 29 on 54. Tranmere played 27 53. I'm going to heap all the pressure on Tranmere because my club have got to play them in the trophy. So I'd quite like to continue to focus. But when you look at it, probably Tranmere with hand on Lincoln, they're the ones that could breathe down their necks.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Danny doesn't need to be told it's far from over. They're in a magnificent position, and he's right in what he's saying. How can you turn down? How can you go, well, we're going to Brighton Saturday, I'll play the sort of youth team? You have to sort of, these are moments that you're going to remember the rest of your life. and so will everyone at Lincoln City. So that's why it's such a difficult thing, I find, to sort of deal with, because what you don't want to happen in the end is end up with nothing. But he's ways above his years, the man. And I wanted to ask him realistically, because it's no secret that we're mates, but I think when he's on here, the listeners want to hear proper questions, and I think he gives a proper answer to proper questions.
I don't know why they're listening to this if they want proper questions, but we've got some proper questions coming up.
Proper questions for us.
I think I don't know, Dave, you're the manager, Dave. But when and if, let's be honest, that the run in the cup anyway, the FA Cup, comes to an end, he's put together a great team there, as you say. He's a great manager. I think him and his brother will have the ability to go, right, lads, switch that off now. We are still top of the league, or they're second at that point, or third, or whatever.
Yeah.
Now let's concentrate on that. And okay.
Well, it's a good question. That will be the big moment in their season.
Yeah. That the next big, game after
the day after the all the being the media, the underdogs, no real pressure in these games. You know, as much as you want to do well for your team and yourself and your club, there's no real pressure. But the day after that's over, and the reality of now getting the league campaign and getting real focus on it, that'll be the big point in their season. But you would never back against them getting it wrong.
Well, we'll get talk. Better then the day after, the next show after their game, then, yeah?
Yeah.
When they've won. We'll get Sutton on, too, after they've beaten Leeds, because that's on Sunday at 2 o'clock. We were hearing Comrade X back on the Shoebox Terrace again. We can talk to Tots, one of those behind it. Hiya, Tots.
How you doing? You all right?
I'm all right. Thank you for coming on. It is an epic song. I suggest that people not only listen to it, but watch the film too. Although you didn't bring it out for Leeds, you brought it out for the round before, didn't you?
That's right, yeah. It was written after the Cheltenham game in the second round. I was kind of bullied into it in the bar. We'd had a few drinks and somebody said, you should get your guitar out and write a song about Sutton's FA Cup exploits. And the rest is rock and roll history.
We've had you on before talking about your singing exploits. Follow at Born a Totter on social media. Well worth a follow. Some of the language, though, but you and me both.
A bit fruity.
love a bit of fruity. So what's the Shoebox Terrace, then, for people that don't know?
Well, the Shoebox Terrace is the oldest remaining part of the Sutton United ground. In the old days, there used to be a couple of old wooden stands on what's known as the Collingwood Recreation Ground side. The Shoebox Terrace sort of stood next to them, and it's kind of survived, the refurbishment of the ground, the rebuilding of the ground. And it's where sort of various reprobates and ne'er-do-wells and drunkards congregate and have a good old moan in the wind and cheer our side on. So it's a great place to watch football and full of characters.
And the song's kind of got a flavour of that, hasn't it?
I think so. I mean, I try to sort of capture some of that in the song. We've cheered our legends from here down the years and all that sort of stuff. And that's very much what it's all about. And just try to capture a bit of the spirit of the non-league game in the song and do it in a sort of Ramones, Cockney Reject style. And it seems to have gone down a storm. Even my missus likes it, which is almost unheard of.
As you may or may not know, I probably don't care, but I'm a local of Sutton, and my brother-in-law was in that 1989 game on the bench, Ian Rondo. But to get to the point, sorry, I always have to mention that. But around here, is everybody, seriously, you're going so far again. This, all them great memories are all coming back. Is the town getting behind you and stuff? I mean, it's been, they've all been sellouts and stuff. I had people begging me to try and get a dodgy ticket in the press box for your last game. But is everybody behind you? What's it been like?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the place is buzzing. And, I mean, it's kind of like pinch yourself, really, because we've been here before. I mean, the year before the run that took it, we'd beat Coventry and end up at Norwich. We drew with Middlesbrough at home and ended up in a replay at the old Ayrton Park. So, Sutton's got an incredible FA Cup history. And the fact that it's rolled around, the sort of symmetry of getting Leeds again 47 years on from 1970 when we played that famous Don Revie side at Garing the Green Lane in front of nearly 15,000 people. It's just incredible. You just have to pinch yourself. But, what an extraordinary achievement. And what a tribute to the group of players and the management and the people who run the club.
Oh, and
Sorry, and just devil's advocate, that's that the team in 89 against the team in 17, who would you back?
Oh, I mean, I just think they're different groups of players. I mean, things were very different at the club in 1989. Hello?
No, I'm saying, Todd, sorry to cut across, yeah. I'm saying, don't dodge the question, answer it.
Well, I'm not dodging the question. I mean, I think we had a gambler's chance against Coventry and we got a gambler's chance against Leeds. Yeah. And that's all you can hope for at this stage as a non-league club in this competition. And the crowd are going to be behind them. It's going to be packed out down there. And I fancy us to get something out of it. I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, those players are going to raise their game. They're going to seize the opportunity, and they've never let us down before. So I think the side that we've got now is on a par with the side we had in 89.
Yeah, that's the
answer. Good answer, and we're right behind them as well, Kaz, aren't we? I mean, I had sort of mixed emotions about the AFC Wimbledon game, but I certainly don't about this one.
No, too right. Let's all go and beat Leeds. We'll be there. Well, we won't, because none of us have managed to get a ticket. It's been a pleasure. How do people, if they want to download it, how do people get hold of the track?
Oh, well, if you just go on the Gandemonium, we've got a fans group called Gandemonium. If you go on @Gandemonium, GANDERMONIUM, and you can find a download link right at the top. It's a pinned tweet right at the top of the tweet. And anyone who wants to follow the game with a bit of humour and a bit of football, beer and rock and roll, come onto the Gandemonium tweet and sign up to that, and you'll enjoy yourself, no doubt.
It is. Brilliant. Tots, thank you. Enjoy the weekend.
No problem. I hope to speak to you again after we've beaten them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do we.
More history.
Off he goes back to the shoebox terrace. Well worth a listen. Well worth a watch. Again, apologies for some of the language that you may hear when you watch or see that. Although, now we're not BBC. We can swear all over the place. I'll mention bravery. There you go. And that's a swear word. No, it's not. I love Braintree, really. So then, I said we're only jealous, Dave Anderson. We all want to experience that FA Cup glory.
Yeah, it's I've been fortunate to be in it a few times, and it is a real. It takes you back to. It took me back to being a kid. You had that excitement, that sort of, you know, you waking up, you toss and turn the night before you dream. Dare to dream, as Northern Ireland supporters would say, and it's, you just can't replace that. And as much as I'm happy to be away from a dugout, that is the stuff that would drag you back into it in a heartbeat.
Would you rather win the World Cup as Northern Ireland or win the FA Cup going back as AFC Wimbledon?
Oh my God! I would say win the World Cup as Northern Ireland, because Wimbledon have won the FA Cup.
They have, but not with you as manager.
Well, and they never would.
What a point to leave that. A reminder, you can go and follow then Tots and everyone at Sutton United at Gandemonium on social media. Here, show if there's a story you want to talk about as well. Through those channels. There's this incredible story up next, and we like to end the show with one of a real non-league family, and this is of fans pulling together and saving a life. It happened ahead of the Matlock working to match the Northern Premier. Matlock safety officer Stuart Else joins us now. Hiya, Stuart.
Hello, Caroline.
Thank you so much for coming on and telling us this story. What happened?
Well, from the start, it happened that this chap, I won't mention his name, I don't know whether you should do that or not, well, this gentleman was in the queue at the tea bar. I was stood in the entrance to the boardroom along with our first aider, Jim Hyam. Somebody came running along. Jim, can you come quickly? Somebody's collapsed. So I went, Jim ran off. I followed Jim. Immediately said, oh, it's serious. Send for the defib. When we got there, there was a doctor from Workington was dealing with the situation as well, and a midwife. And immediately we started giving CPR. And Richard, our steward, Richard Poyser, he'd sent for the ambulance. The ambulance, the first responder, he got here quite quickly, very quickly, in fact, and then he took over. So basically, that's how it all started.
And you mentioned the speed of the air ambulance. I know the fans have gone on to raise some money for that too, but do we know how the gentleman is? Is he okay?
Well, our joint manager, Craig Hopkins, rang him yesterday. and he's coming along quite nicely. We've invited him when he feels well to come to one of our matches.
Brilliant, brilliant. Dave Watters, you were one of those to bring this story to the world's attention again. Just another showing from the non-league family and also how important it is when you've got people that can give that life-saving CPR.
It was a fantastic example last Saturday night. Obviously, I was shocked when it happened. I got rung just before the matches kicked off to say there was going to be a possible delay. And at that point, I didn't know how serious it was.
Yeah.
But it just shows you again. I don't think the defib was used in the end, was it, Stuart? But it was there if it had been needed. And
we didn't use our defib. That's right, Dave. We had it there. But when not the air ambulance, but the paramedic, he arrived very quickly. And he'd got his own, so he used his. He didn't use ours, but ours was open, ready to use, and it was good job. I mean, if he hadn't have arrived, we were on the verge of pressing the button when he arrived.
Oh, wow, right, okay. And as well for that man, I'm sure you guys, because you would have been trained in the use of the defibrillator, but it was also very, it has to be said, very fortunate that among those working in fans, you had a doctor.
He had a doctor, yes.
So I just thought it was wonderful that I'm just really, really relieved as well that the man was okay, because sometimes this can happen.
So am I.
And then something sad can still happen afterwards. So it was great news this week to hear that he's recovering.
That's right. But as you said earlier, all our staff, including bar staff, stewards, and even all our directors are trained to use the DFIP. That's a good thing as well. Pardon?
Everybody in the club, even your bar staff and people like that are trained.
Yes, we trained everybody. We trained all the directors, me included. We all had St John Ambulance training to do the defib, the bar staff and all the stewards as well.
So, how important, obviously, that was put as a, and it has been proved, Stuart, how important that was. But some non-league clubs, and you can understand it, some non-league clubs financially feel like they can't go through that. What would you say to anyone that's listening to this now and has contemplated maybe going out, getting the DFIB, maybe going and having those first aid training lessons? What would you say to them?
I would say, yes, get the lessons. Money's not as important as saving lives, is it? I don't think. You can get on to St John's Ambulance. There are other agencies will train people to use the DFIB and resuscitation methods that's needed. It's very, very important. I know defibrillators are very expensive, but we got a deal, I think, through the Northern Premier League, or EvoStick, as they're now called.
Yes, yeah, and I know a number of the leagues have been offering that. Stuart, I'm so glad he's rallying. I'm so glad all that you did. Pass on our love to him, but also pass on our well done's to everyone else that helped with
you
guys there. And well done to you, Stuart. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you, Stuart. Stuart Elf at Matlock, and as I said, they've been raising money for the air ambulance too. If you just head on the Matlock or the Workington websites, you can find out more about that. And it is one of the things we speak about over the years, Dave Watters. I don't want to labour the point, but leagues do help out financially with it, and so important, as proved, to, if you can, get that training and get that defib.
Oh, definitely. I mean, just a brief summary. After the Patrick Mwamba incident that we all remember, and thankfully he recovered after that. In the year after that, the FA, after the conference and the Ryman League, the Southern League, the Northern League, they all approached them and said, look, we need to do something about this. The FA then got together with the British Heart Foundation. They come up with this great scheme for defibrillators three or four years ago now, and it was really got a huge take up around the country. Basically, it costs about £1,000 to buy a defibrillator if I was to go and buy one off the shelf now. But through this scheme, clubs were able to get them for about £350. So I know in the Ryman and the Northern Premier League, I wasn't working for the Southern League at the time, but I think about 70 or 80% of the clubs took up this offer. And as you saw today, and we've seen a few other times in the last recent years, they are, you know, they are vital to have at a ground.
And in the case of Fabrice Mwamba, I know he's gone on to really publicise as well and try and get more of the grassroots clubs involved. So all the best to the gentleman that was involved in that, and well done to everyone that helped him out too. Well, that's almost it from us for this week. Dave Anderson is girding his loins for next week to take us on.
That's one way of putting it.
If they wanted to, Dave, could they just get in touch with you to suggest guests that you get on? Maybe we can get, a list of everyone that you've upset over the years. And
it's impossible. It would take a fortnight.
My email's on the website. So they can email me and I'll pass them on for Dave. So anyone, yeah, they want to complain about Dave, let
no
me know.
Complaints. So actually, no Bobby, complaints.
Before you do let us go, could I mention as well another tragic story, which is a happy ending as a sort of. Frome Town from the Southern League, they're holding a charity match in February. March, Sunday the 19th of March. There's 12 local clubs going to be there, and it's such a good cause. A former player of theirs, Jamie Mines, who's also played for a number of other clubs down in the southwest. Who are they now? Well, they're not. I'll come back to them. But anyway, this poor chap, he's a scaffolder. Before Christmas, he was working in Swindon. He was electrocuted on the site. He lost both arms. To his forearms, one leg, and the other leg, his foot had to have all the toes amputated. Basically, these were emergency operations to save this man's life. He's a father of two. He's only 32 years old, and they're trying to raise about £100,000. Obviously, his whole house, everything has to be changed and adapted for him. And it's anyway. I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic effort by clubs, and I just encourage people to look out for that and to go along and support it.
If you do go on our social media at Non-League Show, we've retweeted a number of tweets about that too, how you can support. And it's something we'll be supporting too. And as you're right, Dave, just showing how people are coming together, rightly so, to help this young lad and to help his family too. Dave, thank you for mentioning that. Lots of other mentions at Non-League Show as well. If you've got a story, get in touch with us. Then Alan says, any chance of a mention for Gloucester, who'll be playing at Evesham United for two seasons, 50-mile round trip for them and their fans. Yeah, they've confirmed a ground share agreement for next season, the option to extend to a second year as well. That might be something that Dave Anderson gets exercised about next week. If he doesn't, then we'll talk about it the week after upon my return.
If there's still a show the week after.
Not if I have anything to do with it. Mr. Anson, Mr. Waters, as always, a pleasure. You have been listening to the Non-League Football Show, and we will, despite his best efforts not to, return next week and the week after too. Bye for now.
Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.